Let's turn in our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2. And just before we go to there, I just want to read a verse from Psalm 119 and verse 160. That's Psalm 119 and verse 160. 160. Everybody there?
Yeah.
Good. The entirety of your word is truth.
It is.
And every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Mm. So the psalmist, David, is saying, all of your word is truth.
It is.
Not some of it,
yeah.
Not a little bit,
yeah.
But all of it is truth.
Yeah.
Okay? And that every one of his righteous judgments will endure forever.
Yeah.
Our God is a righteous God,
mm-hmm.
He's a just God, and what he says endures forever.
Yeah.
It's not going to suddenly stop.
Yeah.
It's truth and it's righteousness and it continues forever.
Praise God.
When Jesus came and died on that cross for us, he died to save us forever. Not just for a short period of time, it's forever. And our God, when he created all things, he created them forever.
Yeah.
He's a forever God.
Yes.
He's not just on a short-term fix.
Nope.
He's an eternal God.
He is.
And so all that he does is created forever.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Do you believe that?
Good.
Yes. And so the promises of God are forever.
Yes.
The blessings of God.
Amen.
Are forever.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They endure, they continue forever.
Yeah.
They're not something that just suddenly God says, well, I'll do this for now. Because God's not fickle like us. We suddenly say, oh, I'm going to do this good thing. You know, people make New Year's resolutions, don't they? You know, most of them have probably stopped by now, and we're not out of January yet, but
yeah.
People make New Year's resolutions. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be good at that. I'm going to practice this every day. I'm going to read my Bible 3 times a day or whatever they say they're going to do. And by the time before you get to the end of January, did you continue in what you said you were going to do? And the answer will probably be no. So that means we are not able to endure forever at times. We're a bit fickle. We sometimes we get moved by what we see,
mm-hmm.
and not by the Word of God.
Yeah.
And the Word of God never changes.
Right.
There is. If you want something to hang your life on,
yeah.
to be secure on, hang it on the Word of God.
Amen.
Don't hang it on emotions.
No.
Don't hang it on a person other than that person being Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You hang your life and you're secure in him. He said he's the same yesterday, today and forever. See, he's an eternal God. I don't change, he says.
Mm-hmm.
So if God's not going to change, guess what?
We do.
We do. That's right, you got it in one. We have to change.
Mm.
And so it is important that we realise as we tread the pathway of faith in Jesus Christ,
yeah.
it will change us.
Amen.
Praise God for that.
Amen.
Because when you look at people as they've trod the pathway, you can see that God has changed them.
Yeah.
And that must happen. Because you see, when you get born again, you're not perfect. Did you know that?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. But there is a process as we read this word, it begins to perfect us.
Amen.
It starts that process. And so the word of God will endure in our lives forever as we allow it to take root and begin its process of bringing us to a place of absolute perfection.
Yeah.
Because that is where God intends you and I to be and to arrive.
Mm.
That's the plan. Because in the beginning, when God created all things, he said it was good, it was perfect. There was nothing else that he could do to improve on it. That's great, you know. When God made man, he looked at him and he thought, wow, look at this man that I have made, you know. Exactly what I wanted, in my very image. And then Satan comes in and tells his lies, and deceives and twists things. And we fall for them tricks. And so we need to be in the Word. And being in the Word will prevent us, will help prevent us from falling for his lies and his tricks. And so it is important that we spend time in the Word and we let the Word indwell us. And yeah. We let the Word change us. Mm. Without the Word changing us, we're lost.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that will secure your life. It's that place of safety. It's that place that brings us closer to God each day as we allow the Word to work on us.
It's the living Word.
It is. It's a living Word.
It's an active Word.
And that Word, because it's living and active, it's like, if you want, when you're baking bread.
Yeah.
You put yeast in it.
Yeah.
And it's that active yeast that causes that bread to increase and causes it to grow. As and it doesn't happen as soon as you put the yeast in it, does it?
No.
You know?
It's when it gets under heat.
But when it's there, when it's, you know, when it's covered over and it's mixed, all the mixtures together, and it's covered over and it's left, and the yeast begins to do the work and it causes it to rise. And in the same way, we need to take some time out and read the Word and let the Word do its work.
Yeah.
Don't get up and dash off. Give it some time.
Mm. Yeah.
Give it some time.
Yeah.
You know, David talks about meditating.
Yeah.
Pondering. Mm. Thinking about what he's just read or what God has just said to him. Think about it.
Yeah.
What is God trying to say to me? What is God trying to impress into my heart and into my life? Where is God seeking to take me next? What, you know, God wants to take you up another level. He wants you and I to be climbing the mountain into his presence.
Yes.
You know, all the time, come up higher. Come up higher. Because there's a dimension in the realm of the Spirit that God wants you and I to rise up into.
Yeah.
And to ascend. A little bit like Moses when he ascended the mountain into the presence of God. There's a similar analogy that spiritually,
yeah,
God wants you and I to ascend into his presence.
Amen.
Into his holy mountain.
Yeah.
And this is what we need to do as individuals in the church. If we are to see the church grow, if we are to see the area where we live, the lives of people being changed, we have to grow.
Amen.
We have to grow first. Yeah. Because then as we grow, we suddenly realize that God's word is powerful in us.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And you have to begin to believe that the Word of God is powerful,
yeah,
it's true, it's accurate, and it will do what the Word says it will do.
Amen.
And so then we have to say, we have to come to that place where we say, yeah, I believe God's Word.
Yeah.
That's what happened with me. Got to that point where, yeah, I believe God's Word. Yeah, but people say things like that don't happen. Well, when you start to believe God's words, you will see miracles. You will see healings.
Yeah.
You will see God moving in power.
Yeah.
But you have to trust this word. You have to receive this word into your life and say, this is true.
Yeah.
And you have to say, as you receive this word, I'm going to live with this.
Amen.
I'm going to eat and breathe and
Amen.
Be this word.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you will see lives around you being changed.
Yeah.
You will see, even where you work, things will change and you'll see God's hand of blessing upon you.
Yeah.
So it is important that we receive the word of God and we let it take root.
Mm.
You know, we've been sharing, all we've got to do is keep sowing seeds.
Yeah.
We just tell people about Jesus.
Yeah.
We sow seeds and we tell people about Jesus all the time. And as we do that, we shall expect an increase. But to have some seed to sow, we have to read the Bible.
Yeah, we do.
And we have to take in from the storehouse of God.
Yeah.
The blessings of God, the goodness of God, the insights that God wants to share about heaven and about himself and how he's going to bring the earth back into a relationship and a union with him and everything that is in it. So let's move to Proverbs chapter 2. We've probably already preached some of it. Proverbs chapter 2. Just after Psalms. And verse 1. And it says, my son. See, there's no male or female in God. Okay.
How about my daughter?
There's no male or female in God, as you said.
Oh, mankind.
Mankind. Mm. So, my son, my children, if you receive my word and treasure my commandments within you.
Yeah.
Okay? The first thing that we have to learn to do is when we're in church, and we're listening to the word of God, we have to first receive it. You see, you can come to church and you can, I've seen it happen before, and I'm not talking about here, but I've seen it happen in other churches where you go to church, somebody begins to preach, and say, oh, I don't believe that, so I'm not listening to them. And you don't receive the word instead of saying, okay, Lord, what are you trying to say to me? Because we have to grow.
Yeah.
And when we came to Christ, we didn't know anything, did we?
No.
So, to suddenly become an expert, well, an expert is a drip under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no pressure, but he's just an expert, you know. So, we need to listen, because even I, after all these years, I still say, I'm still learning.
Amen.
And the way I learn is, I listen. And I read.
Mm-hmm.
And when I've read, I listen again.
Mm-hmm.
And say, God, what are you saying?
Yeah.
Because sometimes what you read with your mind and not with your spirit.
Yeah.
Right? And God is spirit.
Not heartfelt, but head knowledge.
Yeah, just head knowledge, that's right. And you do not read the word of God with head knowledge.
Yeah.
It's... This is not an academic book, right, to be read by intellects and then I'll tell you what it means. No, this book is to be read by those who have that same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. And as we say, Lord, what are you trying to say? What are the mysteries that you hide in this book from so many people? And yet it's in plain sight. In fact, on Sunday, if you remember in church on Sunday, I said to them about the fact, and God said, let there be light.
Mm-hmm.
And the question I asked was, well, so was, you know, what was the light?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody piped up the sun, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't the sun. Read your Bible. You see, we automatically think, our understanding is when God said, let there be light, we suddenly look outside, we see the sunshine, and we say, that's what God meant. No. Jesus tells us that he is the light of the world.
Amen.
And light came from God.
Mm-hmm.
And the light of God is that pure that we can't stand unclean in the presence of that light, because that light would just vaporize us away. Because nothing unclean can stand in the presence of God. It just vaporizes. So when God said, let there be light, he's talking about himself. Let there be light. I'm the light.
Amen.
And Jesus and the Holy Spirit are with him. And then later he then says, let there be a separation. And he becomes the sun and the moon. Mm-hmm. And days begin to be formed. That's just an aside. So often, if you're not careful, you can read the word of God with a mental assent, mm-hmm. with a mental understanding, and miss what God is trying to say to us. Mm-hmm. So easy to do that. And you start thinking, oh, well, he means this, this, and this. But ask God. When you've read something and you're not sure, begin to ask the Holy Spirit. What do you mean? What are you saying, Lord, to me? And as we do that, God will speak. I promise you that. Mm. God will begin, as you quieten your spirit, as you quieten your mind from the things of all the world that's dashing around in your mind, and quieten yourself and just come before the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to reveal yourself. I want you, Lord, to reveal something of yourself to me through this word that you've allowed to be written down about yourself. And so, we receive the word, we receive it in our spirit, and it's a treasure. This Bible is an absolute treasure of wealth that goes beyond our mental abilities. You know, when we pray for the sick and they get healed, how did it happen? When the doctors have given up on somebody and they say there's nothing we can do, and you go along and you pray for that person and suddenly they're healed. Explain that one. This mind is not capable. The doctor, who is probably smarter than any of us in his field, cannot explain it to you. Tracy, and a number of years ago, when she was in hospital, they basically turned around and said, she's going to die. 2 days and she'll be dead. That's nearly 8-10 years ago now. She'll be dead. And I went in that night and said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I laid hands on her and God said to me, she's not going to die. So I told her, I said, you're not going to die. And I laid hands on and prayed for her because I believed the word I'd heard. Mm-hmm. You shall not die, but you shall live.
Amen.
To give testimony to the glory of God. Mm-hmm. And they took her to Derby. 3 days later, the guy that was in charge of their ward or in charge of her,
I don't know what he was.
He was a senior doctor of some sort, whether he was a professor or what, I have no idea. But he went in and he said, you're a miracle. Because every organ in your body had shut down. They were marking time for a death. You know, the porters were probably at the door ready to take her away. But God changed it all.
Amen.
And he said, you're a miracle. We don't understand it. And she said, well, you know, I believe in Jesus and Jesus has healed me.
Amen.
And that is, they can't understand it. And we can't in one sense with our natural mind, but by the Spirit we say, yeah, this is what should happen. I mean, I don't know if you heard on the news today, but just about every hospital trust in our area, and I think there's about 11 of them, are all in the red.
The skin.
They're broke. Doncaster area, the
27 million
minus 27 million. Who can how is it you can survive at minus 27 million? No money in the bank. Broke. The system's broke. Church.
Yeah.
Church.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
We need, honestly, and some folk might say, well, You're trying to live in utopia. You're trying to live in a place that's never possible. Well, Jesus said, go into all the world.
Amen.
Preach the gospel.
Amen.
Heal the sick.
Yeah.
And raise the dead.
Amen.
Now, Jesus is the Son of God. God does not lie, and Jesus does not lie neither.
Amen.
So if Jesus gives you a commission and says, go into all the world and declare the good news that Jesus Christ is alive.
Amen.
And go out and heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out demons, then that is what the church
Amen.
Should be doing.
Amen.
That is what the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ were doing when Jesus was still alive.
Amen.
They came back saying, the 70 came back saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us, you know, and people are being brought back to full health and strength.
Yeah.
Right? And so they were rejoicing in that. They were excited about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of what God has done. And as I said earlier, the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday.
Yes.
Today.
Amen.
And forever.
Woo!
Right?
Yes.
So what Jesus said 2,000 years ago has not changed.
No.
But we have.
Yeah.
We need to change again.
Amen.
We need to start believing, not with our minds, because your mind will always come against you.
Yeah.
You have to believe in your spirit, because your spirit is stronger than your mind.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you've got, and but you have to bring your mind into submission to your spirit.
Yeah.
And your spirit gets strength when it reads the Bible and you begin to receive from God. Because this book is a plug. Right? This book is a plug. You see? We've got sockets on the wall here. It doesn't fit in that socket, right? Different source of supply.
Yeah.
But you see, this fire fits in the socket, and the moment you put it in the socket and you flick the switch on, it comes on. It comes to life. Right? This book, when you connect it spiritually to God, it becomes alive.
Yeah.
He's alive.
Amen.
And the life of this book begins to flow through you. I was in the other room. I was in the main building of the church this morning, having a look and trying to find out why one of the heaters wouldn't light on Sunday, why we had no pilot light. And I was rushing between two heaters, trying to find out what was wrong and get them working, and didn't realise that there was a broken cable. And today I noticed this cable broken, so I got hold of it and I pushed it against the and made it connect, and then I punched pressed the fire button. Well, it fired all right. I got a there's plenty of power there. You know, it's like, okay, I'm alive, glory to God. You know, so but it wasn't connected. It's not going to work.
No.
And if we don't connect, if we don't connect with the Word of God and by our spirit, this is not going to work for us.
Yeah.
So many people read it with an intellect and say, oh, it's just stories. No, it's not just stories. Mm. Yes, there's history in this. But there's history about what God did for his people by the Spirit. And they are the stories of God. His stories. They are the testimonies of the power of God. And your life, you know, there's going to be a book of Chris in God's eternal library.
Amen.
You know, these are just some of the books. Because it says, not all of the things that Jesus did are contained in this and could be written, right? So there's a library in heaven
Some of it's still being written.
And, well, tonight we've got stories being written.
Yeah.
You know, the book of Mary, the book of man, the book of dear, the book of near. It's being written.
Yeah.
You might be on chapter one. Hey, guess what? Better to have chapter one than chapter none.
Yeah.
Didn't it?
Yeah.
The story's started. It's been written, you
work
see.
In progress.
And of what God is going to do in you, through you,
yeah,
in every one of us. God at work. But we have to allow this book to connect with our spirit, not with our minds. I'm just going to read the next few verses here, and I just really just want to try and inspire you to be going for more and just grasping hold of what we have now and going to another level.
That's it.
Verse 2 says, so that you incline your ear to wisdom. You know, start listening. Start tuning it and saying, God, what are you trying to say to me? You don't get this by going to university.
No.
Right?
That would kill you.
The disciples didn't go to university.
No.
There were fishermen, some of them.
Yeah.
Well, just simple fishermen. They knew how to fish. And Jesus said, I'm going to change you. I'm going to change you from fishing fish to fishing men.
Amen.
And turn them around, you know.
Yeah.
One of them was a tax gatherer. So instead of gathering taxes, he gathered people to the kingdom.
That was a transformation.
Instead of money, he brought people into the kingdom.
Yeah.
One to some degree was a murderer. Paul, the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
You know, he authorized people to be killed.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can neck him, that's alright. Take that one out, you know. And this is what. So he was actually a murderer.
Yeah.
And yet Jesus comes and confronts him and said on the Damascus Road. And he's a life-changing experience. And from then on, two-thirds of the New Testament were written by Paul.
Really?
Yeah, really. Yeah. And he went all over that Asia and Asia Minor, planting churches after churches after churches after churches, preaching the gospel.
Timothy
and Titus. Yeah, the signs, wonders and miracles all being birthed.
Yeah.
And he wrote and he caused young men and women to be rise up and to be get saved and then to become the messengers that carried on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is what we're here to do with you guys.
Amen.
Every one of us to be raised up to do the work of the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, so incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. When it says your heart, it does not mean this blood pump. You know what I'm saying? Just a minute, I'll take my heart out, I'll just put it on the word. That's not what it means. It means apply your soulish part of you to the word. Apply yourself to it. And apply your spirit to the word of God. And it says, verse 3, yes, and if you cry out for discernment, do you know what discernment is?
No.
If you cry out to God for understanding.
Mm.
And I don't mean natural understanding, we need that. But we cry out to God for spiritual understanding. Lord, I want to understand what's going on. I want to understand what you're saying to me. And I want to be able to do what you're telling me to do and understand what I'm doing. So there is that spiritual understanding. There's a dimension that you don't see with your natural eyes.
Mm.
And you have to say, Lord, open my spiritual eyes so that I can see what is going on in these streets around us.
Yeah.
So that I can see what's going on in people's lives.
Mm.
And you don't see with the natural eyes, but you see with the eyes of the Spirit. So that's when he says, open my understanding It's not opening your mind, but it's opening your spirit to see what is happening and what you need, how to pray, what to say, where to say it, and what to do. Right? It's not a program. So often, you know, churches that got into programs and program after program, we'll do this one this time, then we'll do that one, and that one didn't work, so we'll do this one and we'll do that one. And in the end, it's like, did God order these programs?
These programs, signs, wonders and miracles.
Well, exactly. The program that Jesus said was signs, wonders and miracles. I came to Jesus Christ through signs, wonders and miracles. That's why I'm here today. Because I saw two men who shared the gospel of Jesus and then started to pray for the sick.
Yeah.
And people with steel corsets and sticks and crutches just threw them away. And deaf ears opened. And it's like, wow. Jesus is alive.
Amen.
God is real.
Yeah.
This is what it's all about. And so, it is important that we follow the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. We follow the in obedience to what he said to us. Signs, wonders, and miracles shall be done in and through the name of Jesus Christ. And who's going to do it?
We are.
It's not the pastor's job. It's not the pastor's job. It's one of his functions, but it's the job. It's the duty. It's the command of God to every disciple. Wow, that's what it is, isn't it? It's the command of God to every disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ to lay hands on the sick.
Mm-hmm.
Cast out demons, to raise the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. When did you pray for a dead person?
Never have.
Well,
it will come.
But there will be an opportunity if you have that desire.
Can I just say something quickly? I was talking to somebody the other Friday about church programs and how ineffective they are. And I was saying, well, Jesus' program is signs, wonders and miracles. And she said, She said, I said, do you remember John Wimber? Oh, she said, I do remember John Wimber. She said, do you know, when we took a hold of the teaching that he gave us on this, being sensitive to the Spirit of God, she said, going to church was exciting because you never knew what was going to happen in the meeting. And she said, we've lost it. She had forgotten. We've lost it. And she was passionate about that.
That's right. You see, you're not careful. You come to church as a habit.
Religious programs.
And it's like, I don't want you coming to church as a habit.
That's it.
Right? I don't want that. If you're only coming to church as a habit, stay away.
Yeah.
I want people coming to church who say, I'm coming because either God's given me something to share, or I'm coming because I'm believing God's going to do something.
Amen.
And I'm going to be there and be part of it. You know, when I was a teenager, when I got my motorbike, I'll be 18, 19, and started the job I was in, they started asking us to work late on an evening. We got so busy. And so I probably worked about 20 miles from the church that I was going to the other side of Doncaster. And the prayer meeting would start at 7:30. And I'd finish work at 7:30. And I'd dive onto my motorbike. And I literally drove past the end of my street where I lived. And I didn't stop. I just carried on. And I came to Doncaster to get into the church. And I used to get in around about 8 o'clock. Just so I could be in for at least the last half hour of the meeting. Because, I'll tell you what, if God the Holy Spirit was going to turn up, I was going to be there.
Amen.
That I did not want to miss anything. Yeah. You know, if it was happening when I arrived, at least I got a chance to dive in and you know, experience something of it. So it was like, and I would drive past. Well, what about your tea? What about my tea? It didn't matter. I wasn't going to die missing a meal, would I?
Yeah.
You know? And I just went straight to the church because I wanted to be there. I didn't miss a meeting because I thought, if God turns up and something happens, I want to be there. I want to see it. I want to be part of it. I want to be involved with it.
Oh, man.
You see? I was hungry and thirsting after the things of God.
John Wimber was all about, we were all from different churches.
We were.
All from different denominations. And yet, we listen to the Spirit of God, and as soon as within 5 or 10 minutes of peace and quiet, just everybody listening, the Spirit of God started to move, and Quakers were praying for Catholics, and Baptists were praying with Methodists, and Pentecostals were praying with Quakers, and it was the whole body getting together and listening to the Spirit, and so excited.
It weren't about denominations, it was about him first.
Yeah.
And this was the thing that was happening because, and it is, it's learning to say, I'm going to listen to the Spirit of God. I'm going to act. When he speaks, I am going to act. And it don't matter whether I've got broken English.
No.
Right? Don't matter. It matters that we flow with the Spirit.
Amen. Right?
And if God gives you something, then you bring it and you do it.
Amen.
Because that is family. That is part of the body functioning. It's every member of the body. You know, it's all right. Somebody's saying to you, well, I'm going to go for a walk now, but I'm going to leave one of my legs behind. You know? What? Eh? Yeah. It's no good, is it? Why not use both legs? Make it easy. You know? But sometimes, and the church will not function when it's the body's not functioning with it, you see. And I remember at Harrogate, when we went to Harrogate, and this is many years ago now, with John Wimber's meetings, we sometimes were in the big meeting hall, and they had to have another meeting hall in the city, and they had to relay by TV and camera and everything across to this other meeting. And he was in the big room, big meeting room. And one night we got put into the smaller hall. So we were sat there watching the screen, and he stood there and said, he got a word for somebody from God. And he started to share this, and he said, so who's that? Come out, because you know, God wants to do something for you. And in the big room, nobody put their hand up. Nobody was there. But what they did supposed to have was in both, they were supposed to be able to talk to both rooms by radio. Well, it broke down. And the person that God was speaking to was in the same room that we were in. And they couldn't tell them by radio, it's over in the overflow room. So in the end, somebody had to get the legs going, run across and say, oh, by the way, it's in the other room. Then finally, everything connected. And the amazing, what I'm trying to get is, the amazing thing is that you don't have to be in the same room.
No.
For the Spirit to speak.
No, man, no barriers.
There's no barriers. There's no distance.
No.
There's only one Spirit. There's only one God. There's only one Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And he says the same thing. I mean, there was one time when Helen rang me and I started to pray for her and just spoke into her life, and it was like, as if I was in the room.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time another lady ringing me and she was talking to me on the phone, and suddenly the Lord said to me some things, told me to tell her some things, and it was exactly right. It was as if I was in the room,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's about listening to God speaking into your heart. And not to your mind, because it don't come through your mind, it comes out of your spirit, that God is, because God is spirit. God is not a mind looking for somewhere to dwell. He's a spirit that seeks somewhere to dwell within us. And so it's important that we realise that. And so the John Wimber meetings were very powerful, because they were opened to let the Holy Spirit move. And we need to rekindle this willingness to the Spirit of God move, quicken us, speak to us. Verse 3 says, yes, if you cry out for discernment, for understanding, and lift up your voice for understanding, God will give it to you. All you've got to do is ask. It says in Matthew, you ask not. You have not because you ask not. And so you have to ask God and let God begin to speak to you. Verse 4, if you seek her, that's seek discernment it talks about. Seek her as silver and search for her as a hidden treasure. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. God wants to give you wisdom. God wants to give you knowledge. God wants to give you understanding. Part of the gifts of the Spirit are wisdom and knowledge and revelation. And these things come from God. Ellen will tell you there's times in the past and others probably when I've prayed with them and God's given me a word for them and I don't know anything about the circumstance or the situation, but God gives an absolute word and you speak it into their life. I remember praying for Alicia one time in church and God gave me a word for her.
Mm.
And I said to her, is that right? She said, yeah, that's absolutely spot on. Well, I'd only met her once. I didn't know her.
No.
In fact, I didn't even know that she was Mary's daughter at that time, I don't think.
No.
Yeah. And so it was God at work, you see. And we have to learn to listen to the Spirit of God through the Word of God, because the church is only going to grow and develop and be powerful as each member brings the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And brings that anointing oil that God has given to them. And we share the Word of God. And we share it with power. And we share it with a humility. Because it's not about what you've heard. Because you're only a vessel. You know, I'm only a vessel. I have the privilege of just pouring out to you. Right? That's my privilege. But the knowledge is not mine. I didn't gain it. In the sense it's in my mind, it was given to me by the Spirit of God. And I have the joy and the privilege of saying, hey, guess what God told me? And you know, you and I have to say, every meeting you come to, every time it comes to the Word, you need to say to the Lord, Lord, give me spiritual understanding. Open my spiritual eyes to see what you're trying to tell me, what you're trying to show me. Open my eyes spiritually so that I can understand what you're saying. Open my spiritual ears so that I can hear what your Spirit is saying. So that you listen beyond my voice.
Mm.
You listen beyond my words. And you listen beyond anybody else's. And you seek to listen to God. For me, I mean, I can remember times I've preached some revelations in churches and people have looked at me and like, there's a blank look. It's not making sense. And you know that it's like falling on stony ground. And I remember one time I was preaching a series of sermons. And for 3 weeks, one of the church leaders looked at me like a blank wall. Totally blank. And I thought, this guy's not getting it, is he? And the first week you sort of said to yourself, well, I need to have a word with him. And God said, leave him. So I left him. The second week, blank. Nothing didn't appear to register. Well, just pray. And then the third week, the light came on. And suddenly you saw in his face and his eyes lit up and you knew, boom, something had happened. The Spirit of God had broken through.
Amen.
Right? And came in. And the Word became alive.
Mm.
And dwelt amongst us.
Yeah.
And these are the things that we have to do. We have to begin to realise that God wants to do these things in our lives and change us and shape us and mould us. But we have to listen by the Spirit.
Amen.
Sometimes we've got to
zip it.
Quiet. Be still and know
Amen.
That He is God. And then you say, Lord, speak to me.
Yeah.
And then shut up. Listen. Be still. Shut up. Listen. And when we listen, God begins to speak. God begins to pour out of Himself mysteries and wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Because He wants you to go out this door and touch the lives of those people that you come into contact with every day. He wants you to be in such a place where you see somebody and you start talking to them, and then you say, and they tell you their problem, and say, can I pray with you? And they look at your first one and say, when you pray with them, God by His Spirit moves in power. And this is so important. You see, we carry the anointing.
Yeah.
We carry this anointing. What are you going to do with it? Give it to yourself?
No.
Or are you going to glorify Jesus? You carry this anointing and you drip some of it onto someone and you pray with them. The power of God begins to flow, begins to change that person's life. I remember when you were having a difficult time and we came down and prayed with you a number of times. And I believe that was part of the changing. The power of God at work in your life. The devil wants to stop us.
He's not.
Because you're a danger. Mm-hmm. You're a danger to the kingdom of darkness.
Yeah.
Hey, what about that? You know, it's stamped across our forehead. I'm a danger to the kingdom of darkness.
Amen.
I'm a threat to the kingdom of darkness, right? And so, but you'll only become a threat to the kingdom of darkness when this word dwells like a living word, and when we together, you're not going to take this world on your own, but we together take the gospel
Amen.
Of Jesus Christ. In the next few weeks, as soon as it starts to get a little bit warmer, we're going to go out and do some prayer walking again.
Amen.
We're going to sort these streets out again. We're Amen. Going to do some prayer walking, and we're going to ask the Lord to begin to move again.
Mm-hmm.
And see Amen. Results.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And see God moving. Won't take a lot of time. We'll just get that map out and start going around it again. We're going to pray. And watch God do His work in the mighty name of Jesus. That's what we're going to do. Amen.
Amen.
So praise the Lord. So, we need knowledge of God in our spirits. We need the wisdom. We need understanding. So that when we speak, we're not speaking garbage.
Amen.
So that when we speak, we're speaking the words of God mm-hmm. to set captives free. Amen?
Yes.
That's where we need to be. And the only way, and it's about the church, this body, together functioning and doing it for Jesus. Amen?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. And that's all I'm going to share with you tonight. I hope that's been an encouragement to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really something that we need to grasp all of, and we need to see these things rebirthed in our lives. Yeah. And church growth was happening in them days. When we listen to the Spirit of God, listen, and then we act upon it together. And don't be afraid of it. Don't be ashamed of it. Praise his wonderful name.
When you said about hospital, I'm going to remind me of John G. Wright. When he sent his people back to pray for people,
right.
Don't come back till they're healed.
Absolutely.
And he stopped out until they were healed.
Yeah.
And he emptied hospitals, didn't he?
Yeah. And it's true, you see. It's the commission that we have. And the problem is, church has become comfortable by attending and having a 20-minute sermon and having a couple of hours praise time and then go home. And notice it said praise, not worship.
Singing songs.
Well, just having some hype. And there's nothing wrong with sort of, you know, enjoying yourself. But worship has to be that which is a spiritual nature that comes from within, deep within. You know, and whereas praise is, you know, often is very exuberant and external. But there is a part deep within us that cries out unto God.
Mm-hmm.
And that needs to worship God and be fulfilled. And it's the thing that it is called to do, is to worship God. You see, the Bible tells us our reasonable service, and when it uses the word, in the Old Testament, when it uses the word service, it means worship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is when it says service, it means worship. Our reasonable service, our reasonable worship unto God. So often when in the Old Testament, if you read service, it means worship.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to be worshippers of God. You know, Abraham showed it when he came back from the battle of rescuing Lot and all the things that were stolen. And the first thing he did, he worshipped God by giving a tithe to Melchizedek. And so that was the principle that was set down. Because Abraham was rejoicing and thanking God for the fact, one, he'd restored Lot and the things that they'd lost, and they believed that none of his men were lost in England.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was giving thanks to God for that very protection that God gives. And so that's why he gave of himself that 10%. Mm-hmm. And the other people, he said, oh, you can have all that. He says, I'm not interested in money. He was interested in one thing, and that was his relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And Melchizedek was the high priest of God.
Mm-hmm.
It is believed, actually, that Melchizedek was possibly Shem, who actually had known Adam. And Adam had known God. And so he knew about the God of creation. See, the Bible wasn't written then. You know? These were stories that were taken down through the generations. And as I told you the other week, they had a staff, and on the staff was the markings, and it was a story of what God had done in their lives and prior to their lives, and this was handed down generation after generation. And they would sit around on a night time in the tents, and no TV, praise God, no DVDs, no Space Invaders, no mobile phones. No
Twitter.
Not at least, what's that?
Xbox.
That's the one. No Xboxes or anything like that. And so they'd sit there and say,
our PlayStation.
I've got a wonderful story to tell you. Let me tell you what happened 500 years ago. Wow, you know, we go, what? What are you talking about 500? And he'd tell the story. This is what happened 500, and begin to read from his staff as a reminder. And he'd begin to tell the story of what God had done. I tell you. Wow.
And you.
That's me.
I know this question may sound stupid.
No.
But
no question is stupid.
Yeah, but what's the difference between worship and praise?
Praise is very often just the excitement of an emotional thing, which is external. And praise often is about, Lord, I thank you for what you've done for me. I'm excited about what you've done for me. And praise tends to be focused on what's happened to me. Right? Okay? Mm. Happy with that? Mm. Worship is that I don't care what's going off around me. I don't care whether there's a disaster coming in my life. I will take my word and I will worship the living God. Mm. And I will exalt his name. And I will just seek his presence. And I will just begin to give him praise and to thank him and to just focus on him. Not on what is going off around me. Because praise is linked often to what's gone on around us. Worship is about what is going on inside of us.
Yeah. About God in
and it's about God at work within us. And so when we worship from within. And what has been put within us. And so then we begin to worship God for all that he's done for, and in our lives spiritually. And we just come into his presence because we worship God for who he is.
That's it.
Not for what he's going to do for me. Right? Mm-hmm. So often we say, oh, thank you so much. Yeah. But that's giving praise to people. But when it's this thing of I worship you, oh God, not for what he's going to do.
Standing in awe,
but
isn't
the fact of who he is.
Oh,
yes. This awesome God that created you before the foundations of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew you before the foundations of the earth. I mean, that blew me away when I fully sort of began to understand that God knew you and he knew me before even the earth was formed. I sort of went. My mind sort of froze for a moment or two and it went, how did God know me before anything was created?
It's odd.
It is, but it's because everything came out of God. Everything. You came out of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You came out of God. And so God knew you. Before anything else was formed, he knew you. And it blows my mind. It still blows my mind when I start thinking like, wow. Yeah, it does. It makes your head hurt. So that's why you just let it soak into your spirit and you just worship God, the Father God. Oh, I just, oh, what a Saviour, what a God, what a Creator. For who he is. The creator of the old universe and all everything that is in it. And he even knows what's happening tomorrow and the day after. He's got it all in his hand in control.
Yeah.
And he's like, wow. You just worship him for, Lord, I can trust you.
Yeah.
Because you are
trustworthy. Showing your love for him.
And it is, it's that expression of love, worshipping love, and because you can trust him to look after you, to care for you. You know, he's not just going to suddenly turn around, oh, fall on that wheel. He doesn't have those days. He says, I'll never leave you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forsake you. Even when you mess up,
mm-hmm.
he's still there.
We do.
Oh, and we do mess up,
yeah.
But he said, I still love you. See, it comes to the fact that we sometimes try to sort the situation out ourselves instead of saying, no, actually, I'll leave it to you, Lord.
Yeah.
Because we do. We try to, you know, whether it's financial or spiritual or whatever, we try to say, I'll put a plan in, this is what we'll do with this, that, and the And then and the Lord went, that's, you try it,
yeah.
And then come back to me when you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what happens, isn't it? Because
right.
I once remember they wanted to put 12-hour shifts on at work. And I was the only one out of 8 lads who said, I ain't doing that. Because if I work 12 hours on a Sunday, I'm like you, I can't worship.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. So I ended up going on to days and months. And all the lads couldn't get it in the world. It's only one Sunday. I said, I don't care. It's what I believe.
Mm.
You know? And I had to stay on the same shift pattern.
Yeah. But in the end, they moved around and one thing or another. But if I hadn't decided that's what I wanted to do, you know, it was like, well, you know, it's on Sunday, yeah.
But it's like I always tell young people, because this is what I did, and this is what I still do, I always try and put God first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know that everything else will get sorted.
Mm-hmm.
Because I put the onus on God to sort it.
Mm-hmm.
You, God, you're first, God, then you have to sort the rest out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are times when we have to pray into this and pray towards it. I remember we were at overtime as an apprentice and they wanted us working every day. And then they wanted us to work Sunday. And they were so desperate, so I worked one Sunday. And in the end, after that, I said, no, I said, I can't do it. I just felt I'd let God down. Because there was Sunday morning service. I taught in Sunday school in an afternoon. Then we had Sunday night service. I said to the boss, I said, I'm not working any more Sundays. Whoa, did he ever go at me? You know, I was the laziest and da 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 da. And he went on at me and I worked with no less hours than everybody else. And he hated me for it. He tried to get rid of me for it. And he did. But God moved me into a better place.
Mm-hmm.
In that sense. He started the ball rolling and God said, great, I'm going to use this. And God changed the direction. Mm-hmm. And I ended up being promoted.
Turns our curses into...
And it's like, listen, put God first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And even if it looked dark and dangerous, God will say, don't worry, but it also just takes you through.
Mm-hmm.
And God does it.
Mm.
And how he does it, I have no idea. But I'll tell you what, just jump on board and enjoy the ride. Because it's exciting. Yeah. Well, you know what happens, they start asking these questions. And we've got to try and answer them a little bit. Does that help a little bit?
Yeah.
Good. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. It's 9:15.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, richly bless you.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow may be a great day.
Sure,
may you be a blessing to others.
Sure,
in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord.
Our days of heaven on earth. How about that?